Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Amazing. Well, shall we get into the Word of God? I'm excited to speak today. It's such an honor and a privilege to speak my once a year gig. So hello, I'm Clara. no, it's good. And I want us to read out of the book of Genesis this morning. But before I do, I'm going to give you the title of my message. I want to speak to you a message titled, "There is more to you than meets the eye." There is more to you than meets the eye. The longest sermon title you'll ever see in your life. And the first thing that we're going to look at is a picture that we're going to throw up on the screen. And it's of this vehicle. You're probably wondering, what is this vehicle? Is that an aeroplane? Is it a rocket ship? Is it a toy car? But how many of you know, put your hand up if you know what this is. Everyone, okay, fine. It's a Formula One car, okay? So this is an F1 car. It's a racing car. It's used only for racing. And it's the world's fastest car. When you look at it, you might think, that looks interesting. That looks cool. That is a weird looking car. But actually, after I watched the Netflix documentary, I began to realize how special this car really is. It can go up to 350 kilometers per hour as it's speeding around corners. It's a data center, because all around the car, there's sensors placed all around the car, and it sends data to the factory, and they're able to process the information in real time and strategize during the race. And so it's an engineering masterpiece. And these cars can be worth up to, have a guess, $20 million. 20 million big ones, guys. And this, they're not creating 10 or 100 cars. They're literally creating two cars per team. $20 million. And there's over 1,000 staff members that can be working in one of these companies for this, for your entertainment. My goodness gracious. It's really the car of all cars, and it's certainly more than meets the eye. Definitely for me, when I thought about Formula One, I did not care about it at all. And then after learning about it, I've gone, wow, the value, $20 million, 1,000 people, people's hours, livelihoods, all going into this car. It is wild. But you know, for each and every person in this room, and you are greater than a car, you know, there is more than meets the eye in your life. You know, there's so much value in your life. And that's because God has actually uniquely and thoughtfully created you, put you together, and He's put His mark upon your life. And I know this because in Genesis 1, verse 26, at the very start of creation, God said in verse 26, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And so when God created the world, He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, everything around us. He created the animal kingdom, but it wasn't until He created humans, He created you and I. It wasn't until He created mankind that He said, "Let's put our image onto these guys, not onto the animals, onto the humans." And so, what does He mean by image? Well, does it mean that God has split Himself up into billions of people and then put out and His face is upon our face, and we all look like Him? Well, thankfully not. The scholars don't believe He's talking about the physical image of God. He's talking about something that's on the inside of us. And being created in the image of God means that you have intrinsic value, that your life has got so much value in it because he has placed and infused his divine DNA into your life. Into your life. So much so that not even sin could diminish the image of God placed inside humanity. Johnson Jerry A. Holman says, while sin distorted and disfigured the image or God in man, it did not diminish its worth. It did not diminish its worth. You have intrinsic worth. So much so that in scriptures in the book of James, God would say, do not curse another person because that person has been made in the image of God. And so when you go and talk badly about someone, and when you hurt someone, you've hurt the image of God. And we know scripture says, do not murder. God says, don't take another life. Because when you've taken another life, you have taken the image, you have touched the image of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. And so we are made in this incredible, his image, his value, his worth has been placed in us. But the problem is that we're spending so much of our time building up our own image. We spend so much of our time building up our LinkedIn profile, you know, building up our gains in the gym. We spend so much of our time influencing celebrities have social media accounts and they're trying to build up an image. It's how people perceive you. It's your physical external image so that they can be trustworthy to sell a product to us, or we want to build up our image to be taken seriously, or we want to gain respect. And so we find purpose in that, don't we? To be able to build our life and to be able to build this image. But really, while we're doing all of that building on the outside, God says, I've already placed my image inside of you. You don't have to strive for anything. I've put my image already on the inside of you. So instead of trying to build up your image, instead, quiet yourself down and find out who God is, because he is the one that has been reflected inside of us. Our intrinsic worth is not determined by how much we impress others or build up our image. And so this means that what someone else says about you does not determine your value. What someone thinks about you does not determine your worth. This means that your achievements, your accolades, your titles do not determine your worth. Because every person has been made in the image of God, our value is not earned. It is given. It has been given to you by God. There is such a treasure in each person. I want you to know that. And perhaps maybe you don't build up your own image. That's not what you're about, but perhaps you doubt yourself. You know, that's a problem when it comes to understanding that we're created in the image of God, is when we doubt it. And in the book of Judges, we learn about Gideon, and he was a man who doubted God. And what happened was Gideon was hiding in a wine press. Some of you would know the story, because he was afraid of the enemy nations coming in. And while he was there, an angel of the Lord appeared to him out of nowhere. And it says in Judges 6 verse 12, the angel said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." The angel of the Lord called Gideon a mighty hero in that moment. But Gideon was not very heroic in that moment. He was literally hiding in a wine press. He was actually afraid. And so fair enough, Gideon responded with doubt. He was like, if you've read the story, he kind of told the angel all these reasons why he wasn't a mighty hero and he couldn't do the things he was asking him to do. And maybe you walk around and you feel like, as an image bearer, you see your own flaws and failures and you're not sure of the value that's God's place inside of you. It reminds me of my daughter. She's 7. And when I started to teach her how to tie her shoelaces for the first time, right? I kind of felt like when she was a toddler, I was a bit too young. So I was just like waiting, when's the right time? And then she wanted to learn. So I taught her how to tie her shoelaces. And then she tried to do it herself, but then she couldn't do it. She was struggling. And so, okay, let's try again. And I'd show her again and try again. And she tried to do it again and she couldn't do it. And so she, there was about three times where she tried and she kind of failed at the task that she was given. And she said, I can't do this. I am not good at this. I am terrible. And, you know, what would a good parent say to their kid after that? Like, what would you expect that I would respond to her? Like, yeah, you're right. You're never going to do that. Like, you're going to be using Velcro straps for the rest of your life, kid. Like, this is bad. No, I looked at her. I said, girl, Haven, you have got this. Like, you have the fine motor skills. You have the intellectual capacity. You know what I'm saying. You got to do, you can do this. It's in you. I know you. I know you're capable of this. And some of us are like children when it comes to God, right? Like, he looks at you and he's like, I've got this for you. This is who you are. This is the name that I've given you. And we go, yeah, and we doubt it. And we go, and we give evidence to the contrary, to God. We go, God, but look, I tried to tie my shoelaces and I failed, right? And God's like, get up and do it again. God, you know, the Bible says that God's word does not return void. And so when he speaks into your life, he's speaking truth. And when he speaks that truth, it will not return void. Your destiny in him will be fulfilled. But you know what? Unbelief will not produce spiritual fruit in your life. And so when he says something to you and you don't believe it, you've limited yourself in that moment. And so what does God say about you? Who does he say that you are? What does God say about you? Who are you? And maybe some of us need to pull out every prophetic word that we've ever received in our life, list them all out and prophesy them back over yourself again. And some of us need to go into the Word of God and actually begin to search for scriptures and write down every area where it shows you and it explicitly tells you who God says you are. Because we need to be reminded of who we are in God. And what do you carry? Because God's fingerprint is upon your life. The Bible says that every person has been given a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift. And some of you might have the gift of healing. Some of you might have the gift of words of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of hospitality. What is that spiritual gift? In fact, scripture says that every believer has access to all the gifts. So you can't even say you don't have a gift. Because he says you can hunger after it and get every gift. You have it all. What is your natural gifts? Because God has also placed spiritual gifts and natural ability, right? When you were knit, the Bible says you were knit together in your mother's womb. He created you uniquely you. And so some of you today might be a gifted leader or creative or whatever that expression is. You're good with people, whatever it is, that's the natural gift that you carry. And so how do we respond when the Spirit of God speaks to us today and reminds us of who we are? Are we going to respond like Gideon? Or I want to give you another example of a response. And it was Mary. Mary, in Luke 1 verse 28, the exact same thing happened to Mary, where she was going about her life, doing her thing, a young woman. And an angel of the Lord shows up to Mary, just like he did with Gideon. And the angel showed up and says in verse Luke 1, 28, he said, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. The first words that came out of the angel's mouth is greetings, favored one, right? There's that declaration of who she is. She's favored and that the Lord is with her. And so the angel goes on to tell Mary, greetings, you're favored, I'm with you, and you're about to give birth to the Son of God. His name is Jesus, going to save the whole world. Like, how crazy is this story? And so I love Mary's response, because she goes on to say in verse 38, her response was, well, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Completely different response to Gideon, to Moses, you know, people in the Bible where God shows up and they're like, but I've got these problems. Are you sure? Mary, it was just like, you know what? You've said it. May everything you have said about me come true. And may that be our response today when the Lord is speaking to you, that instead of doubting, or it's okay to actually doubt, but to defer that doubt and to lay it down before God and go, Lord, if you will it, if you've said it, it might not make sense to me. I submit to your will, and may everything you have said about me come true in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The second thing that being created in the image of God means is that it means that you have kingdom purpose. You have kingdom purpose. And so I want to unpack this word image that we've read in Genesis with you, because I find it really interesting that God, when he was writing these scriptures, had used the word image. He could have used any word when he was describing humanity and he was describing how we were going to, what he was going to put inside of us. And he calls us made in his image. And so what you got to understand is that in the ancient world, it was common in their literature, they would use this word image when it came to pagan gods and pagan deities. What would happen is, like, say, Zeus or whatever the name of the deity was, they would create this statue of that god and put it at the front of the temples. And so people would come and worship to it. And that statue was called an image. So I want to show you a picture of what I'm talking about. This was one of the Assyrian images. This is an actual one that they found. And we can take it off the screen now because it's scary. So this massive statue that was created to represent an Assyrian deity, an Assyrian god. And when the person would go into the temple, that was the entrance, when they'd go into the temple, they would then pray and worship through that image, because it was through that image that they were going to speak to the deity. And so they would use that. And then in the New Testament, we learn about Caesar. And we actually have it today on our coins, which I have one for this service, so you're in luck. Didn't have this 8:30, 20-cent coin. So you'll find that on our coins, who do we have minted on the back of our coins? It's King Charles. It's King Charles. This one's got Queen Elizabeth. King Charles is minted upon these coins so that everywhere you go and everywhere, every country and every person that uses his coin is reminded that they are under the rule of somebody else, of this other king. And so it's interesting that God would use this word image to describe you and I. And he was very explicit in scripture, in Genesis, in Exodus, that the Israelites were never to create an image of God. He was like, don't you even dare try and make a man-made wooden carved thing, okay, that represents me. Like, first of all, it's man-made, like, hello. And second of all, it can't speak, it can't move, it can't do anything. It's literally just this thing that a man has carved. That cannot represent me. You know, that's what God was saying to his people. He was like, don't you dare create any images of me. And the reason is because he had already created his images. And he's not saying that you and I are statues. He's not saying that you and I are God himself. But it's that you and I reflect and we represent God upon this earth. And what's different about you and I is that we are not man-made statues that just stand around doing nothing. We can't speak, we can't talk. He's made us in his image. And so when we bear his image, we walk on this earth representing God himself. That is an amazing, beautiful revelation, that if you caught that today, that God's image has been placed upon you. Wow. The value that is upon your life, incredible. But the work that he's got for you to do, wow, that is a big work to represent him in a way that moves in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not silent. We're not still. We're not man-made. We were created by God. N.T. Wright says, we are to demonstrate to the wider world who God is. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so we're called to bear his image by carrying out kingdom purpose on this earth. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I love this scripture because it starts off by reminding us of our value. You are a masterpiece. You are amazing. Like, I have created you. Full stop. But then it doesn't stop there. It says, I have created you in anew in Christ Jesus so we can. There's always a so we can do the good things he planned long ago, because he wants us to live our life for his purpose. You know, it's the college theme, your life, his purpose. That's his desire for mankind. And just like with the story of Gideon that I mentioned before, and the story of Mary, the angel of the Lord showed up to Gideon and Mary and said, you know, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. He said to Mary, favored one, the Lord is with you. He didn't just stop there. The angel of the Lord didn't just say that and then fly back up to heaven. And they were like, oh, that was an amazing, I soaked in the presence of God and it was incredible, right? That would have been incredible. That would have been, they would have fallen on their face. Like, it would have been a powerful, weighty, heavy moment. But scriptures never stop there. There's always a so we can. And for the angel of the Lord speaking to Gideon, he charged Gideon to go and deliver the Israelites, you know, out of the hands of the Midianites. And he then charged Mary to give birth to the Son of God. She had a work to do on this earth. That was her purpose. That was her purpose. And so if we read back at that original scripture that we started with today, where God made us in his image, I just want us to show again where it's a so we can moment. He says, God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. One sentence, the next sentence, so we can. They will reign over the fish in the sea. This is now his purpose for all of mankind. To reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. And then it says in verse 28, the Lord blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. And then it says, again, reign over the fish, the sea, the birds, the animals that scurry along the ground. And so it's so important to see here at the beginning of scripture, this is how we understand who we are in God and our purpose in life, is that God has made us in his image. But then if you pull out these key words straight after that, he talks about be fruitful. He says multiply. He says govern. And he says reign. He wants us, in another translation, to have dominion. Dominion. Dominion means to rule or have power over. And so God has called us not to just enjoy his presence. That's part of it. And we are to worship him and we are to sing to him and we are to praise his holy name. But it doesn't end there. He's then called us to rule and reign and have dominion over this earth. And Bill Johnson says that we are to rule and reign not over people, but over life. But over life. God's calling us not to rule and reign over people. I'll say it again. But over life. And as believers, as Christians, as men and women, as image bearers of God, we have this incredible privilege to actually reign in life. That even when hardship comes, we reign because we have the Spirit of God with us, championing us, getting us through. That we are the head and not the tail. That we are blessed, that we lend, we don't borrow. We're always lending out. That we have the peace of God that transcends all understanding. This is because you and I are image bearers. And so we rule in life. And who God is, he has placed that inside of us to bring that life and light and love and healing to your world, to the world around you. And he's calling each and every one of us to bring his kingdom on this earth. When you turn to your neighbor at work, your colleague, and you begin to tell them about the love of Jesus, that is bearing his image. That is reflecting who he is. I think that we would all agree that that is what that is. But image bearing is not just when you evangelize. Just a side note, just a controversial point. You know, we're called to bear his image, pray for those who are sick and see them recover, the Bible says. We're called to do that. And I think if you saw someone on the street praying for someone else, you'd think, yeah, they are image bearer. They are representing God right now in that moment. And we need to do that. But it's also, it is actually also just reflecting who God is in your everyday life. And so if you're a checkout person, you're working at the grocery store and that's your job. Every day you're rocking up to work and you're scanning groceries. Do you know you can bear God's image when you reflect his goodness to another person, when you reflect his kindness, his love, when you bring joy, when that person walks out of the shop, they just feel a little bit happier. They just, like, the kingdom of God has touched them in that moment. That is bearing his image. And Adam and Eve had to garden, right? They worked the soil. And when you work the soil in your life and you steward what you've got, and when you see a problem and an injustice in society and you say you start like an organization and you begin to impact people for the better, and when you use your hands to create what wasn't there before, to bring God's kingdom upon this earth, that's actually being an image bearer. That's ruling and reigning in life too. And so there is more than meets the eye in you today, church. There is so much more that God has for you, not just to understand your value and your worth and to enjoy that, but to then go and minister that to a chaotic, dark, dying world. There's a work for you to do. So how do we represent God? It's because it's a lot. It's kind of overwhelming. And so I want to put to you today that our best model is Jesus. And there's a scripture in Colossians 1:15 that says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So we see that word image pulled back into the New Testament here to reveal to us that the perfect image of God, the perfect representation and model that we have of what the image of God looks like on this earth is Jesus. And we have scriptures and we've got the gospels to show us how Jesus walked upon this earth. And so I want to go to John 5, where there's a story where Jesus healed a man who couldn't walk. He was lame from birth. And so Jesus was there and he actually healed this man on the Sabbath day. And I want to invite the worship team to join me, actually. And the religious leaders were upset about this because on the Sabbath day, you're not allowed to work. You can't clean, you can't cook, you can't even pray for someone. And so that was the law. And so the religious leaders thought, I can't believe he did that. And so they asked Jesus why he did this. And Jesus explained, well, I tell you the truth in John 5, verse 19. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. I want to show you this in Scripture, that this is how Jesus represented God upon this earth. Even though he was God, he still had to depend upon God because Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. And so the way that Jesus represented God upon this earth was whatever he saw the Father doing, he would then go and do. It was as simple and as basic as that. And that's how he lived his life. And I heard Shane Willard say once, he said, worshippers don't get God to act. Worshippers move themselves into the way of what God is already doing. So as a worshipper, as a Christian, as a believer, we think we need to beg and plead God to do something on this earth, and we pray and we beg. But perhaps as image bearers, we are called to actually move into the slipstream of what God is already doing upon this earth. Partner with the work God is already doing. Jesus says, my Father is always working and so am I. He's always working and he's always Sabbath. Just as a side note, he's amazing. And so God is always working. And so we must partner with what he is doing. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you can see, but I'm walking in a moon boot today. It's the first time I've preached in a moon boot, hopefully my last. A few weeks ago, my daughters were in school, and so I have a day off, and this is like a new thing that's happened. And so I just thought, you know what, my life is so kind of ordinary. It can seem that way. You know, I get up, make them lunch boxes, take them to school, all those things, come to work. And I woke up on my day off and I was like, God, I know you're doing something on the earth today, every day. And today I'm full of faith and I want to be used by you, whatever you want. And I knew that I was going to the physio that day for my foot. And I sat on the edge of my bed and I didn't have much time. And I just prayed, God, if there is anything you want me to do, just show me. I'm really scared, but I will do it because I know you've called me to do this. This is my purpose in life. This is all of our purpose in life. And I felt like he put the receptionist, like a picture of that receptionist at the clinic in my mind. And he wanted me to tell her that God loved her and that the hole that she feels in her heart, that he wants to fill that hole in her heart. And so I just thought, okay, I didn't have time. I'm just going to take that. I'm not going to stew on this any longer. I'm just going to do it. And so I went there and I had my physio done. And afterwards, when I was paying at the reception, I just said to her, hey, I know this is weird, but like I'm a Christian. And I just was praying this morning and I felt like God wanted me to tell you something. And she was like, oh my gosh, tell me more. She was so excited. And she wasn't a Christian, so I'd asked that before as well, just in case. Sometimes, you know, they're Christians, so then we can just get on with it. So she was like, oh, please tell me, because so I've had something like this happen to me before, she said, and I'd love to know. And so I said, oh, okay, well, I felt like God wanted me to tell you that he loves you and like the hole that you might feel in your heart, he wants to fill that hole with his love and his presence in your life, and he loves you so much. And she said, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to cry. I said, what's going on? Like, tell me more. Like, tell me what happened before. And she went on to tell me that a few years ago when she was at university, she had a friend at uni have a message to her from God as well. And she'd written it in a letter. And she felt like God was speaking to her through that letter. And then she invited her to church. So she went to that church and just for one time, and that was it. And then a few weeks ago, before I saw her, she had a colleague at work. She had a stomach issue. And so a colleague at work came and prayed for her. So this is another believer at the physio that went and prayed for her, who's not Christian. And after they prayed, the colleague said to her, she said, do you believe in God? No. Well, she said, why don't you just pray and just ask God to reveal himself to you? You know, if you don't know him, you've never met him, maybe just say that prayer to him. She said, I will. And she did that. And a couple of weeks later, I walked in and gave her that word. And she was beaming from ear to ear. The next week she told me she'd gone to Tribes Church. Amazing. I was so stoked to see what God was doing in her life. And this is the thing, is that God was already working in her life. I'm not her savior. You know, someone else, some obedient image bearer from a few years ago at Curtin University had heard from God and spoken to her and was obedient in that moment. And then at work, her colleague just decide she's going to be bold that day, go and pray for her, and then just tell her, hey, maybe open your heart to God. And then I came in and added a little bit too, and the story will go on and continue. And God loves her so much. And what I love about it is the love that God has for her and for mankind. And all our role is to be image bearers, is to come in, is to see what God is doing. That's all that I did. I saw what he was doing and I partnered with that and stepped into that space. And God has that for every single one of you. And it's so fulfilling. It is the most fulfilling thing you will ever do in your life, to bear God's image, to not live an ordinary life day to day and just like be really Christian here on a Sunday. But every other day, right? It's a little bit mundane. It can be a little bit boring or whatever it is. But no, God's got something special for you. He's got a life for you that is more than meets the eye. in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. For those who love Him. And this is your inheritance today, church, that you would bear God's image and walk in His goodness. I really believe that there are ministries yet to be birthed in this place. He wants to partner with you to say, start a ministry or start a business. I really believe that. To do His work on this earth. Maybe He wants to partner with you, launch a connect group, and you've been nervous about it. You've been doubting yourself. But God's saying, you can do this. I've called you to do this. Maybe to do something in your neighborhood, your community, whatever it is. God has called us to represent Him. Is that okay? All we have to do is do what the Father is asking us to do each day, and He will show us the path.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.